Paris Live Radio, Paris. This is Le Frick Show. You can listen to us at parislive.net and various other means as well. So many we can't even keep track. That's right. This is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. We're here every morning at this time, breaking it down for you. Looking at the news and the trends around the world, trying to make sense of it all for you in Paris and around the world. Stacey, what I want to do this morning is I want to go into the Wayback Machine. I want to do a little time traveling. I want to go back to the day before yesterday. Yesterday, of course, we experienced another one of these banking outrages where investment bankers were blowing up investment bankers in one of the big investment banking centers of the globe. We've seen it in Istanbul. We saw it in New York on 9/11. We saw it yesterday in the city at Liverpool Street. Bankers attacking bankers. There's a global banking war going on. Some people call it a war on terror. Some people call it a war on drugs. It's a war of bankers fighting bankers. But I want to go back 2 days. I want to go back to the day before yesterday. And I want to review some things to keep in mind before we get distracted by this latest banking episode. Let's keep in mind a couple of things that we were talking about just a couple of days ago, which, in fact, are still with us. For example, the Downing Street memos. The Downing Street memos prove that Bush and Blair conspired to launch a regime change in Iraq without any kind of lawful means with which to do so. They, in fact, invaded that country, and it looks as though they invaded that country purely for monetary gain. There was no discussion, really, about the moral authority or ethical considerations. It's purely a way to take control of oil assets. This was discussed, and it has been exposed with the Downing Street memos. Got a lot of traction here and a lot of traction in the United States. Shows that these two guys were violating all kinds of international standards of law, and squarely points the finger at their investment banking mentality, which is to keep the colonial period alive after hundreds of years of pushback, because they don't want to work. They want to be monopolists. They'd rather just steal everybody's assets instead of competing in the free market. Also, a couple of days ago, the Bank of England was raising fear of bankruptcies in England. Why? Because of massive financial speculation perpetrated by predatory lenders in the UK and people taking on extraordinarily dangerous loans and mortgages to finance that incredible real estate bubble circling the globe. This is still with us. Nothing has changed there in the last 2 days. The Bank of England fears for the financial health of the citizens there who are speculating at the behest of predatory bankers and banking terrorists. Also, a couple of days ago, Bush critics were concerned because there's not enough troops in Iraq. That's right. Remember, Rumsfeld, he went into Iraq with that false prospectus, tried to do a quick job, cheap on the cheap, killing people left and right, 100,000 Iraqi casualties, trying to get that oil, doing a leveraged buyout per chalabis, lobbying in Washington. That hasn't changed. Can't get enough troops there now. It's in a huge quagmire. It's breeding problems. And that hasn't changed in the last 2 days. And in fact, as we discussed yesterday, they're having trouble filling the necessary ranks of the soldiers to go over there because in America, they've run out of people skinny enough to serve in the military. Now they've gotten into the general population, which is too damn fat. Too many fat people now. They can't even get people over there because they can't fit them into those big cargo planes to go over there. You can only fit like 7 Americans into a huge 747 at this point. And that's just too expensive. They have to build more super jumbo planes just to get American soldiers over there. 2 days ago, believe it or not, insurers sounded the alarm on climate change. Well, climate change isn't going away, is it? Climate change is a direct result of bankers trying to kill bankers, like we saw yesterday in London. Climate change is killing more people than anybody. It's tens of thousands of people. Couple of summers ago in the south of Europe. Why? Because the bankers don't want to do anything that would disrupt their monopoly positions. They like all the free income they get by perpetrating climate change, global warming, flooding. the insurers are saying, hey, you know, if you guys don't clean up your act pretty soon, we won't be able to insure your assets anymore. All that real estate you've been hoarding and stealing is going to be worth a jack shit because we won't be able to insure it anymore. But, of course, these bankers only look in the next 3 months. They don't look past the next. They don't look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. 2 days ago, Tesco was saying that they've got a little problem making money because of the cost of plastics going up. You know, Tesco is one of the biggest plastic abusers in the world. Something like a half a trillion plastic bags are thrown into the world environment every year from various retailers, Tesco being one of the biggest. They're complaining the cost of their little plastic bags is going up. The answer to this is not to put less plastic bags into the environment that's killing us, but to introduce a plastics futures exchange so that Tesco can hedge their exposure to this risk. Of course, we end up eating the risk. All the corporations keep all the gains. Everybody else gets all the risk. And this has been going on quite remarkably for a long, long time, and now it's erupted into gang warfare. Gangs of capitalists fighting other gangs of capitalists like we saw yesterday in London. Last but not least, 2 days ago, we were discussing the folly that is the ID card shambolicism in the UK, which, given yesterday's events, Stacey Herbert, we can only assume will get a huge push to go forward, Charles Clarke's ID card scam.
That's true. Well, actually, it already passed the lower house, and now the Lords have to approve it, which they were expected to reject it, in which case it would have had to go back to the lower house. But now I guess they're going to have to be patriotic Brits, and in memory of the 38 dead, they're going to have to support this final
collateral
suspension.
Banking damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ID cards, we talked about it earlier this week. There's a huge mobilization of civil disobedience that was being put together last week, a couple of days ago. The citizens of the UK are going to mimic what happened in Australia, which tried to launch a national ID card. They met up against huge resistance from the population, and that scheme failed because it's not something that the average citizen would want to participate in. And you've got a lot of people, as I said, organizing around the need to put together some civil disobedience. And basically, as we mentioned, they're going to engage in things like switching religions for women so that they would go to the photo shoot dressed in burqas. I think that this group could easily join up with the animal rights groups. The animal rights groups have already established themselves as being able to take on the bankers pretty effectively. Huntington Life Sciences stock price collapsed. They had to move out of Britain, go to America, where capital punishment and animal cruelty is de rigueur, as they say here in France. So I think the anti-ID card people will hook up with the animal rights people. And that fight still continues. So these things all happened 2 days ago. They're still happening with us today. Yesterday, you had a couple of skirmishes, a couple of bombs, etc., due to the banking wars all over the world, arbitrageurs, market manipulation. As we clearly pointed out in this show earlier this week, we said, you know, if we look at these options markets trading on the price of oil, it would look as if somebody's trying to manipulate the price of oil. This kind of suggests that there might be some market manipulation afoot. I wonder what form that would take. And we said, well, you know, the thing is that the guys in the Mideast, they're easily blow up the pipelines over in the Mideast, which would force oil to go to $80 a barrel, which all the speculation is focused on that $80 barrel price. Sure enough, yesterday, the banking wars erupted in the city of London. And you had huge volatility, huge trading in the currency pits and the petroleum pits. And the options guys banked huge profits, put on new positions. It's market manipulation. It's got to do with the fact that the economy in the futures pits, the economy in the speculative pits and trading exchanges around the world is hundreds of times bigger than what we would call the physical economy. the economy you and I deal with every day, going to the store, buying a loaf of bread. For every dollar of oil that ships from one continent to another, there's $30,000 of speculative money betting on what the price of that oil will be at some point in the future. That's a 30,000 to 1 leverage. So you don't think it's profitable for people to take on a position in the options market, go long oil, bet that oil is going to go one way, and then stage a banking crisis as they did yesterday? Of course. It's insider information. This is the scourge of our times, insider trading, happening in the corporate level, the banking level, and the commodity level. You've got Alan Greenspan in America with the Federal Reserve Bank, and you've got the chairman of the Terrestrial Reserve Bank, Osama bin Laden, who basically controls the value of terrestrial assets like oil. Anytime his network, his database, which I found out today is, I was reading Robin Cook's editorial in today's Guardian newspaper. He's talking about the Al-Qaeda literally means, if we do the translation, database.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he does have that promise software from the CIA, remember? So that's the big database that controls everything.
Yeah, Robin Cook, he's writing in The Guardian today. He says, Bin Laden is a product of a monumental miscalculation by Western security agencies. Throughout the 1980s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda, literally, quote, the database, was originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with the help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Inexplicably, and with disastrous consequences, it never appears to have occurred to Washington that once Russia was out of the way, Bin Laden's organization would turn its attention to the West. The danger now is that the West's current response to this threat compounds that original error. So long as the struggle against terrorism is conceived as a war that can be won by military means, it is doomed to fail. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world who want to speak up for the cooperation. Success will only come from isolating the bad guys and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. Now, I agree with one statement, which is that it's not a military solution. But I'm not too keen on this idea that we need open dialogue. What we need is to create institutions that restore equilibrium to the world's financial markets to eliminate the incentive to manipulate markets, as we see in the States, in the UK, and with the Bin Laden cadre of bankers. These guys, everyone's a market manipulator. Exxon is a market manipulator. We talked about this yesterday. Lee Raymond. Yeah, he's on in the press talking about the fact that global warming is inevitable. Essentially, his message is that global warming is inevitable. Exxon will never change, and the best thing you can do is to adapt. You know, change your behavior as human beings so that we can make a profit. Well, you know, if he can get away with saying that unchallenged, that's market manipulation. He's using the world stage and the world press to put out a message of premature human extinction to save Exxon. That's market manipulation, because what is communicating to the globe is that carbon trading is not going to take off. Price of oil is going to go higher. Premature extinction due to climate change and global warming is inevitable. Lee Raymond's got a vested interest. He's manipulating the market. Bush and Blair, the Downing Street memos, they're market manipulators. Bin Laden, he's a banker. We'll be back with more Le Frick Show right after this.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
The Frick Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacy. Max and Stacy. Oh, yeah. 2 hours every morning, we come to you live. If you want to catch us on the internet, it's parislive.net. We're tracking the global banking wars. The events of yesterday are not ideological. They're not political. It's financial. It's business, Sonny. Global banking wars. Wage in the currency and commodity pits. It's market manipulation. Solution is to take away the opportunity incentive for market manipulation. That's what needs to be done if you want to restore some peace and quiet to the world. You've got to restore some equilibrium to the global markets. As long as you think this whole thing is ideological or political, you're feeding the bankers' delusions that make them money, make you poor. For example, Financial Times today, U.S. retailers reported stronger than expected sales in June, as the belated arrival of hot weather and improving confidence in the economy encouraged spending on air conditioners.
So exasperating the problem.
Exactly.
Okay, there's no leadership in that country. None. Zero.
Air conditioners really make everything worse. Okay. Global warming and climate change is a result directly of things like air conditioning. And the continent that's the most adversely affected by climate change and global warming is Africa, which leads to huge poverty problems. And the solution to that is to take away this negative feedback loop that makes people think that selling air conditioners is good for the retailing sector and therefore must be good for everyone, even though it means that a dollar made in the retail sector is creating more than a dollar's worth of financial risk to all of us, everybody else. So this is the problem. You've got to make the price of an air conditioner reflect the climatological damage it's doing. The fact that it's made in China and it costs 20 euros or 30 euros or 100 euros or 150 euros, whatever the current price of an air conditioner is, doesn't reflect the damage it does to the environment over the long term. The price of that air conditioner has got to be a lot higher to disincentivize people from buying these ecologically busting technologies. But you don't hear that because the bankers want to keep you in this bubble of ignorance where they only talk about one side of the triangle. They don't talk about the other two sides. Not even somebody like Bob Geldof or Bono who, you know, they've been to school. They have basic educations. They're not idiots. But they go to the G8 and they lecture the G8 about how they should give more aid to Africa. Well, that's not the problem. Okay, let's look at item number two from the Financial Times this morning. $40 billion debt relief will have little impact. Basically, when you work through the numbers, it's going to save these countries about $1.5 billion a year. Plus, to be eligible even for this, the countries have to structurally change their economies to accommodate air conditioning salespeople, essentially. They have to be open to buy air conditioning units from these retailers and Starbucks and Microsoft and Exxon and all the road builders. They have to let all these people in to be eligible for this debt relief. Of course, letting all those people in means that their real problem, climate change, is only going to get worse. Does Bob Geldof mention that? No. As a matter of fact, he forbid anyone from going to the G8 conference in Scottsdale, in the Glen Eagles in Scotland, from even mentioning climate change. So that's one side of the triangle that's not being mentioned. He's got the feel-good side, the warm and fuzzy side. Let's give him a few extra bucks and feel good about ourselves because he's against feeling bad about the situation more than he is about for feeling about the situation. Let me
nice.
Try to rephrase that in some coherent manner. He's against feeling bad about the situation more than he is against the situation.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't want his feelings hurt. He feels like, I want to sing my rock and roll songs and talk about freedom and get laid. And I don't want to have to my conscience to be disrupted by starving Africans. So I'm going to stage a one-time event, get paid, sell some back catalog, hook up with my celebrity friends, to have a party. Then I can forget about the Africans for another year or two or five. Little does he know that by not attacking climate change and global warming, his kids probably will not have a full lifetime's worth of ecological assets to take part in. There'll be technology-assisted living for your oxygen, your water. As we said yesterday, they're already instituting metering for water. So the price of water is going up, just like the price of oil is going up. So they already got you trained by buying bottled water, branded water. Well, the price is going to go up, along with your energy needs, your oil needs, your food needs. Of course, the price will go up. Why? Because Monsanto, another monopolist from America, has got a scheme where they patent the seeds. Patent the seeds, and then they charge farmers every year to buy new seeds. Price of seeds goes up. Price of food goes up. Food goes up, energy, water. Pretty soon, probably we'll need to carry around a little canister of oxygen to get from one place to another because the air is unbreathable. In some cities in Asia, this has already just about reached that point. I'm sure. I predict, Stacey Herbert, that before the end of this year, a big trend in Asia will be that retailers are selling oxygen canisters that people are carrying around in their handbags to get a few oxygen squirts here and there and keep them going, keep some oxygen flowing. Before you know it, you're going to be carrying those aqua lungs.
Huge. Yeah, certainly in China, you'd imagine. Because remember, Jacques Chirac was just there in the last year for a big, shindig. And they were about to throw an air show for him, showing their military prowess. Anyway, it was so smoggy in Beijing that they couldn't even see this guy, so they had to cancel the whole celebration.
Yeah, prices are going up. Of course, it's hard to see the prices are going up because the statistics, like the markets, are manipulated. Anytime your basket of goodies that you buy in the grocery store shows inflation, government statisticians change the definition of inflation. They've been doing this for years. And as a result, on paper, it looks like inflation is tame. But you know, as I do, if you try to fill your tank of gas recently or at the grocery store, inflation is creeping up. It's moving up. And okay, interest rates are low because of this manipulation, so the value of your house is high due to real estate speculation, and you're able to extract equity from your house to go and participate in this inflated economy. But that's a bubble that once burst will expose the underlying trend, which is that inflation is here and your standard of life is going down. Wages are going down in the West. So the real estate bubble is great for the bankers. They're manipulating the markets. They're making predatory loans, sucking people into this speculative nightmare, this casino society, for their own benefit. But once they can't, the last sucker steps up, boom, they pull the rug. Then you're screwed. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that there's a way to make money in volatility. In other words, we were debating on our show in London whether or not the run-up in the price of oil shortly after the bankers staged their banking event at Liverpool Street Station yesterday, trying to kill other bankers. The price of oil spiked up, then it collapsed. Now, a lot of people don't realize that in the options market, you have the ability to take down a straddle or a combination where you're both making a bet that the price is going up and the price is going down. You make a simultaneous bet. If the price stays flat, you lose money. But if there's a wild swing in the markets, you make money. Now, because they stage an event that's going to create volatility, they made some money. Crude oil recovers from a $5 intraday plummet. Yesterday was the most volatile day in the trading pits of oil ever recorded in the history of that commodity. You know, the fact is you can actually trade what's called a VIX index, the VIX, which is just based on market volatility. It's not even pinned to any underlying asset. It's just volatility for volatility's sake. Now, if you've got a lot of money, you've got the wherewithal to stage these events like yesterday, you can print money for yourself. That's why there's so much goddamn money in the universe, is because people are able to print it for themselves, manipulating markets. We'll be back with more of The Frick Show
right after this.
Don't touch that dial, or I'll bite you.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
The Frick Show on Paris Live Radio. You can catch us at parislive.net on the web. It's 10:31 in Paris. My name is Max Kaiser, and here with Stacey Herbert. We're up in the Pigalle region of Paris, actually in the basement of the Moulin Rouge, where all the Can-Can girls are warming up for tonight's performance. They're absolutely naked. Now, Ken Livingston and Mayer, responding to yesterday's banking event, bankers fighting bankers, as we've been talking about so far on this show. By the way, if you want to send us an email, we'll be happy to incorporate that in our show. And the email address is lefrickshow, F-R-I-C, frick, as in, you know, that's French for money, lefrickshow, at gmail.com, lefrickshow at gmail.com. Send us an email. So now yesterday, Ken Livingston launched a blistering assault on the perpetrators of the attacks, denouncing them for mass murder and a cowardly terrorist attack. Speaking from Singapore, where London was on Wednesday awarded the 2012 Olympics, the London mayor made an impassioned yet controlled address, urging Londoners from all communities and faiths to stand together against the bad guys. Mr. Livingston said this was not a terrorist attack against the mighty or the powerful. It is not aimed at the presidents or prime ministers. It was aimed at ordinary working-class Londoners. This isn't an ideology. It isn't even a perverted faith. It's mass murder. Well, I agree with a couple things, but I disagree in a couple of other things. I agree it's not ideology, but I don't agree it's necessarily aimed at the working class. I believe it's aimed at the financial markets as part of the ongoing manipulation schemes that we see every single day, which are making the rich extraordinarily rich and the poor around the world extraordinarily poor, both financially and ecologically. There's a growing risk of hundreds of millions of ecological immigrants leaving the flooded areas due to climate change and seeking shelter in countries like the U.S. and the U.K. The U.K. is building up all kinds of defenses against immigration. Could it be that they're anticipating ecological immigrants flooding the country due to their own faulty policies and economics that are creating the problem? The other thing that's kind of interesting here is the Olympics itself. If you think about it, the Olympics is one of the absolute worst carbon nightmares we face as a society. Every 4 years, massive amounts of plane loads from all over the world spewing carbon gather for a huge commercial event in ways that support this model that's killing us. The Olympics themselves, there's nothing to offset the carbon that the Olympics generates. It's an Olympic-sized carbon nightmare. You know, there's been an attempt recently to make events events carbon neutral. You know, by determining what the carbon burn rate is for an event and then, let's say, planting a commensurate amount of trees that would suck up the offsetting amount of carbon. As far as I can tell, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Stacey Herbert, but did you see anything in the news about the Olympics Committee looking for a carbon offset?
No.
I didn't see anything about it. Was it part of any of the bids?
I don't think so. I think Paris actually had something like that in their bid. Something about being ecological and organic.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they lost. There's no profit in that.
So the, the carbon nightmare that comes with the Olympics, it's no not for nothing. Ken Livingston has to address the banking charade from the Olympic Committee. So, I'll tell you this also. Let me mention this, my friends, Stacy and y'all. The whole spread betting market, I got to take a look at the numbers, though. You know, the way that the whole spread bets went down, because Paris was leading, the London winning, the odds were not that in its favor. And those who made the spread bets on London made a killing, literally. And, or maybe figuratively, I should say. And, you know, it does. London is the spread betting capital of the world. It's the hedge fund capital of the world. It's got the most bankers per square mile in the world. And the IO, the Olympic Committee, is not exactly known for its policies, its purity of their approach. They've been, you know, caught red-handed, various scandals around the years. Lord Coe, the head of the British contingent, allegedly has been involved in a scandal before. So, once again, insider trading, perhaps? Insider trading. They let Paris get a little ahead, make the bets a lot more attractive for London winning. London wins. There's a huge cash out. You know, the Olympics is what one big commercial enterprise. Why not make money on it with spread bets? There's nothing underlying the Olympics that's about amateurism, purity of spirit, community. It's about competition in a way that's we see reflected in the society overall and creating the problems of climate change and global warming, which is killing us. So that's another angle to consider about this whole Olympics fandango. But, you know, most importantly, was any attempt to be carbon neutral? No. So it's a carbon nightmare, the Olympics. Paris tried to maybe introduce a little carbon aspect of it, offsetting carbon. Of course, they didn't win. Now, the NGOs, we talk about NGOs on this show a lot, NGOs, non-governmental organizations. They tend to be ineffective because they don't consolidate their power, and this was demonstrated yesterday. There is a rising discontent among many of these NGOs with Bob Geldof and Bono. We'll get into that in a second, but first let's have a little weather report from Stacey Herbert, the weather girl. What's happening in the weather world?
Hurricane Dennis is over Jamaica and Haiti at the moment with 135-mile-per-hour winds, and it's heading for Cuba, and then expected to pick up intensity as it heads for Florida.
Yeah!
Yeah! apparently, the signs are that this is going to be a very, very dangerous, very volatile hurricane season, because those in the know that a hurricane coming from the deep tropics is a bad sign at this time of the year. And Hurricane Dennis came from the deep tropics. So Google it, look it up. And another sign, World Health news, is the bird flu has been found in Philippines. The Philippines are just announcing this morning. Again, this is a pretty foreboding sign. And by the way, September is the migratory season. So that's when you should look for whether or not the bird flu is going to become a big event this year.
Thank you, Weather Girl.
You're welcome.
This is La Frick Show with Max and Stacy every morning at this time. Yeah, the markets closed up yesterday.
In America, they did.
Yeah, I think the people are getting trained to the fact that these types of events are GDP boosting. Remember, the tsunami in the Indian Ocean was determined to be a GDP boost. If only more Indian Ocean people surrounding the area died, they would have had even more money. The Adam Smith Institute came out and said, this is the greatest thing that could have happened to the Indian Ocean region, the tsunami, because it's a great GDP boost. You know, those two, how many people died in that thing? 250,000?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, they're collateral damage for the global GDP boost. And if you remember, back in the 9/11 incident, what's his name? Grasso headed up the New York Stock Exchange. What was the deal there?
He got $5 million bonus for, get this, opening up the stock exchange.
Yeah, he kept opening it up. He kept doing business. He kept that model alive.
On top of his $125 million, that just wasn't enough to show that he was worth it.
So who's going to get the lucre now in London? Well, let's see. All the big banks are going to give themselves bonuses.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bechtel is one of the owners of the London Underground. And they're apparently the news today is that they're struggling to get services back to normal.
They deserve a bonus.
Yep.
All those executives deserve a bonus. They were struggling 2 days ago to keep services going because they had extracted all the wealth from the system for their own pockets and left the whole system crumbling.
Exactly. That's why I think the markets weren't too affected, is because, you know, they had already factored in the Bechtel factor, that it was a disaster waiting to happen.
These events like yesterday are huge windfalls for these crooks.
Yeah.
You know, I know that on Wall Street when you have brokers who are just churning and churning and churning their clients, and they're losing money hand over fist. Anytime there's a huge event like this, like the crash of 87, it bails everybody out because everyone then is on equal footing. Even those people who weren't crooks, their performance is equally bad as those who are crooks. So here you have an event like yesterday. Bechtel, who's a crooked contractor, who's got the contract to develop the London Underground. Now they can use this event to say, well, of course, there's problems. We need more money. Give us more bonuses. It's not, you know, the fact that we're crooked and we're doing off-balance sheet financing and we're raping and pillaging the taxpayer. No, that's not it. It's about these bad guys, you know, that are ideologically based, and they hate life, and we love life. And of course, they're just basically using it as a pretext to get even a bit fatter, get more paychecks, get a bigger bonus.
In fact, Blair this morning says, you know, these London bombings, they're not going to stop us from closing deals.
Yeah, Blair!
The GA, always be closing. He's always a banker, isn't he?
Go for it, y'all. Get fat. Be fat. Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Don't let the fact that the markets are horribly lopsided, which incentivizes people to do these attacks, gives them an opportunity to do these attacks. Don't let that change your opinion, the way of doing business, because you've got your retirement to think about. You've got your huge mortgage in Conant Square to think about. If Blair really sat down and thought about this, what the whys and wherefores and why these things happen, it would mean he'd have to come to the conclusion that he overpaid for his apartment at Conant Square, and that he's underwater, and that he would need to sell out at a loss and get to grips with reality. But now he can fight the bad guys. His performance fee in the lecture circuit's going to go up. He's like the new Rudolph Giuliani. He's going to be circling the globe giving lectures about fighting the bad guys. His fees will go up double, triple, quadruple. He can afford that house now at Conant Square. Because he's a market manipulator.
Plus, surely he's going to get a bonus for continuing up to Glen Eagles. He went back to Glen Eagles. It was so hard. He struggled to get up there.
Wow. What a guy. Mm. His price is skyrocketing. Wow. What a whore. NGOs divided over $50 billion G8 aid proposal. You see these guys, the NGOs, who sit on the sideline like a Greek chorus and do nothing except chat. They're saying that Bob Geldof and Bono are the deal that they cut with the G8 people, or the deal that they're supporting, is, you know, inconsequential. It's just cosmetic. And they're condemning the paucity of the ambition. This is a nice phrase from the Financial Times, the paucity of the ambition. Yeah, the deal is just too light. You know, it's, as we said earlier in the show, it's a deal. When you work through the numbers, it works out to something like $1 billion a year, but it's highly contingent on conditions that'll never happen anyway. So it's a big puff. It's a big PR piece.
It was heavy enough, however, to increase record sales and to land a knighthood and a Nobel Peace Prize nomination.
For Gelda.
So
even though it has absolutely no financial consequence to the Africans, and in fact perpetrates the nightmare against Africans by perpetrating global warming and climate change, Bob Geldof did get a big raise in pay, potential nomination for a Peace Prize, Peace of the Action Prize. Everyone sold a lot of records, a lot of T-shirts, a lot of ticket sales on eBay, a lot of Chinese-made rubber bracelets, poured some slave labor over there, make poverty history bracelets. Everyone got paid except the Africans on this one. What a shock. Well, we'll be back with a lot more of the Frick Show on Paris Live Radio, so stay tuned. Don't go away.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation on the groove. It's a big family.
Paris Live Radio, coming to you live from Paris. This is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. You can catch us on the web, parislive.net. You know, Stacey, I was looking at this morning's independent newspaper. Robert Fisk.
Oh, yes, the great journalist who lives in Lebanon, in Beirut.
Mm-hmm. He says, it's easy for Tony Blair to call yesterday's bombings barbaric. Of course they were. But what were the civilian deaths of the Anglo-American invasion of Iraq in 2003?
Exactly. Bravo.
The children torn apart by cluster bombs, the countless innocent Iraqis gunned down at American military checkpoints. When they die, it's collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
When we die, it's barbaric terrorism.
Uh-huh.
If we are fighting insurgency in Iraq, what makes us believe insurgency won't come to us? One thing is certain, if Tony Blair really believes that by fighting terrorism in Iraq, we could more efficiently protect Britain, fight them there rather than let them come here, as Bush constantly says, this argument is no longer valid. It's time these bombs, this time to time to deep, to bot to deep, then he goes on to say, well, he talks about it more. But, I mean, we can just stop there for a moment. Yeah, Robert Fisk, he's pointing out that it's really difficult for one side to point the finger at the other. They're both basically barbaric, and one follows a barbaric business model that treats the earth like it's an inexhaustible resource to be raped and pillaged every day for a few insiders and a few corporations. The other guys are equally anxious to make as much money as possible, engaged in various market manipulation schemes. And, it's, you know, he's kind of echoing what we've been saying. As, of course, he's a writer there in Britain. And I'm not sure a message like this is ready to go down this morning, but you've lived in Britain for 10 years. Your thoughts? Stacey Herbert, the peachy bowl of sherbet?
Well, I mean, I think the Brits are a little bit more savvy. Obviously, they've got better papers and they're more informed. And they're aware that, for example, America has obliterated several wedding parties, for example, in Afghanistan and in Iraq. I mean, imagine that sort of situation. If it were a wedding party that Al-Qaeda blew up yesterday in London, imagine how we would be weeping and feeling. And of course, you know, America does this all the time. Only last week, America killed 17 women and children in Afghanistan when they blew away a village looking for these two or three Navy SEALs that went missing. So, you know, I think Brits, you know, when I first moved there, we were being bombed by the IRA and nobody cared. You know, they just went about their business. They just treated it as kind of an annoyance. Because remember John Kerry last year during the presidential elections, he said that we have to learn how to treat terrorist attacks as annoyance because it's not going to stop no matter how many, you know, women and children we kill in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not going to make them go away.
Yeah, the other thing he brings up, which is interesting, is this whole notion of geography. You know, it's disturbing when you hear Bush and Blair talk about fighting the bad guys in Iraq as if they're just going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it geographically ring-fence them, and they're just going to attack them where they are. You know, this is just not consistent with trends of the past 10, 20, 30 years, which mean you've got, you know, globalization, instant communication. And there's no reason to think that you're going to contain this situation geographically. And, you know, that's another thing to throw on the scrap heap, along with ideology and politics. Ideology, politics, and geography, they're all worthless in fighting what's going on here. As we're calling it on this show, it's a banking problem. It's a market manipulation problem. And the only way to address it is by bringing back some equilibrium to the markets, to take away the incentive and the means to engage in these schemes, as we saw yesterday, which in the way I see it is pure market manipulation. And the beneficiaries are all on the same team. What we call the killer bees, Bush, Blair, Bin Laden. They're all basically beneficiaries of yesterday's act. Bechtel. You can throw Bechtel into the killer bees as well. So GDP boosting. The markets went up because they're going to have to borrow lots of money, spend lots of money, rebuild stuff that shouldn't have been blown up to begin with, you know. You know, we live in Paris, we work in Paris, and we take the metro every day. It's always on time. It's quiet. People are civilized. It's cheap. And this is not what you find in the tube. you know, because in the Tube in London, it's been victimized by this private-public partnership, the PFI schemes, as you've got the locust bankers swarming in, stealing taxpayer money. And yesterday, it was the direct result of that. So it's not geography, ideology, or politics. It's finance. Well, I see you looking intently at something.
Actually, I was just reading this from Michael Schur, the former CIA bin Laden analyst. Remember, he wrote that book last year? He was on television yesterday, and he said that the London bombings were the chickens coming home to roost for U.S. and U.K. politicians who continue to obscure the nature of Al-Qaeda's struggle by maintaining that the organization attacks the West because they hate our values. Now, Michael Schur claims that it's specific Western policies that are the focus of Al-Qaeda, not generalized hatred of values. Basically, you know, the Israeli occupation of Palestine, U.S. support for military regimes like Pakistan and Egypt, and, of course, the U.S. military occupation of Afghanistan and Iraq. And Al-Qaeda holds this as the U.S. onslaught on Islam and Muslims aimed at reducing them to neo-colonial slavery.
Yeah, that's kind of a half step toward what we're talking about. You know, that's like a half step and say, you just don't make a blanket statement. It's covering some ethereal, ideological, nebulous concept. There are specific policies that are being should be addressed. But even so, I mean, that's only a half step, because I think once you start to break it down in those specific terms, mm-hmm. you are still left with these banking and finance issues. And
well, that's the neo-colonial slavery. We're all neo-colonial slaves, really.
Yeah, I got you there. I mean, after 9/11, what Israel used that as a huge land grab opportunity mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
And what did George Bush tell us to do?
Go out and consume. You know, and the problem is that in the UK now, the power pendulum is going to swing back over to Charles Clarke. And according to the paper this morning, ministers are expected to rush through measures to arrest and detain suspects accused of acts associated mm-hmm. with terrorism as an immediate reaction.
Yeah, of course. Rush through policies again.
Rush through. Rush. They got all these things they've been wanting to do for years and years, right? Eminent domain, for example. Take all your property. Take your civil rights. Take your ecology. Take your environment. Take your money. They got the means to do it, and every time they have an attack like this, which they, in fact, co-sponsor, gives them the impetus to rush through these bills. And, of course, in the UK, when they talk about acts associated with terrorism, we're not talking about terrorism. We're talking about acts associated with terrorism, which now in the UK include things that fall under the banner of what they're now calling economic sabotage. Economic sabotage, which can mean, and you get 5 years for this, which can mean anything that you do to interrupt commerce. So the animal rights activists who are blocking commerce at Huntington Life Sciences are economic saboteurs, and they get 5 years as terrorists. You see, it's all one big slippery slope, which is geared to protect the money-making enterprise and at the risk and the detriment of the public good and the public domain. So also being rushed through yesterday's attacks on London will also make it more difficult for conservatives and liberal Democrats to oppose the introduction of identity cards.
Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Right. So they want to rush through identity cards, which gives the information technology monopolists like the Microsofts of the world a new boondoggle, a new way to transfer taxpayer wealth to their own pockets, financing something like this. There's no track record that these have worked. It gives police additional harassment powers to mimic their federal handlers. There's no reason to believe that the local cop would act any differently than than Tony Blair, who, on a false prospectus, committed mass murder in Iraq. So why would the cops act any differently? They've got the means now to stop anybody in the street and harass them. And wasn't there just a case last year of those police constables taking a woman back to her apartment and raping her?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe, actually, they were found not guilty, so I'm not sure. But also, what stops?
Allegedly.
What stops?
Those police, those PCs allegedly took to stop that woman, took her back to her apartment. So this
they
is
did have sex with her, but the court ruled that it wasn't rape.
Okay. All right. Right.
Okay, but what also stops Microsoft, you know, who sold democracy and freedom to China, the words democracy and freedom.
Yeah.
What stops them from selling the identity of Max Kaiser to somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you only exist as a citizen of Zimbabwe now.
With and we get to define your rights per the where you are now coming from, as per our identity theft.
And then you'll be deported on one of these charter flights to Zimbabwe.
Extraordinarily rendered. It's 11 a.m. in Paris. This is The Frick Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey. Well, we heard from one side of the arbitrageurs yesterday in London, manipulating the oil markets for big gains. Let's see what the other side of the jihadists are doing in Washington, D.C. Senator Rick Scrotum.
What did he have to say today?
He's the other side of the Crusades going on, what they call the Crusades, but it's actually just bankers fighting other bankers. So Senator Rick Scrotum, Republican, compares abortion to slavery. In his new book, It Takes a Family, Conservatism and the Common Good, which is being promoted as an alternative to the views of Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. He says in his book, Scrotum makes the case that abortion puts the liberty rights of the mother before those of her child, just as the rights of slave owners were put before those of slaves.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this passes for political discourse in America.
My God. Now, what's funny is that you do a little juxtaposition, right? Mm-hmm. You do a little juxtaposition of the news. So these same Republican congressmen in Congress, Republicans, have launched a new effort to speed up executions in the United States by limiting the ability of those sentenced to death to appeal to federal courts.
Oh, my God. They hate our values.
Yeah, they hate life, and we love life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, yes, Senator Scrotum. He's you know, he's critical of Hillary Rodham Clinton. He goes on to say that. Then it gets kind of bizarre, actually.
Why? What happens?
He said this. He goes on to say this was tried once before in America, talking about slavery. But unlike abortion today, in most states, even the slaveholder did not have the unlimited right to kill a slave. Like, it was this.
he's still angry about it.
He's still angry.
Yeah. Well,
he could have
the fact is, a slave owner couldn't kill another slave owner's property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure the slave owner got away with killing his slave because it's his
property.
Well,
he worked him to death.
Yeah, it's his
basically,
property, though.
I mean, what about the ships coming over and the slave ships?
In
of
fact,
course, that's off balance sheet. That's extraordinarily rendered. You see, the slaves were extraordinarily rendered on the slave ships. They died. Half of them died, I think, at least.
No, well, a big problem was the cost of maintaining slaves was so high because a lot of slave women would kill their babies. They would have abortion because they didn't want to have a child born into slavery. So the slave masters were not happy with this because they would have to go through the cost of bringing over more slaves and buying more slaves.
Yeah,
it became an unsustainable model because of women having abortions.
When you look at the politics, he's talking about Hillary now, she would change her politics of meaning to boil down to little more than feel-good rhetoric, masking a radical left agenda, says Senator Scrotum. And you know,
speaking of radical left agenda, yeah. We forgot about Rush Limbaugh.
Well, we didn't forget about Rush. We're saving Rush.
Oh,
We're saving Rush for later.
We have to remember Radical Left, Rush Limbaugh, because it's a very funny story.
Yeah, well, we got Rush here. Yeah, I try to get the email. You got the email on that for the Rush story? So Scrotum is comparing this to slavery, abortion. And, of course, they're going to have a couple of openings in the Supreme Court, because I guess Rehnquist is now retiring.
Apparently, according to Robert Novak.
Oh, yeah.
He's retiring next
he's
week.
He's the guy who blew the CIA operative.
Yeah. And now all these other... For blew some reason, cover, he's the one that blew the cover. And Judith Miller's in jail now.
Yeah.
Matt Cooper is... he says he's going to testify next week. So he's going to out Karl Rove, I guess.
Yeah, the problem is when these guys speak, their hypocrisy is breathtaking. So it's hard to comment. It's just... It's like you can't believe these guys, you know, are able to...
It goes down in America, but, you know, in the rest of the world, we laugh.
Yeah, so the Republicans want to speed up the death penalty. The Streamlined Procedures Act of 2005, introduced by some Republican senators. You see delays in the death penalty cases where they are allowed to drag on for 15 or 25 years. They want to speed that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't want to have any false innocence. It's kind of like that mad cow disease. No false. We're not going to test it because we don't want false positives.
Yeah, because DNA testing, a lot of these guys on death row are proven to be there under false perspectives.
Yeah, uh-huh. Especially if you're black.
So they want to speed that up.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'll make another one of my predictions.
What's
and
that?
I say, you know, 3 out of 10 of my predictions come true, which is means you're batting .300 in the major leagues and you're a superstar. That's all you need to have is 3 out of 10 predictions come true.
Okay.
I predict that within the next 24 months that these capital punishments, these state-sanctioned murders in the United States will be broadcast live for pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know what? I predict that's not going to pass. They're going to extend, if anything, the stay on death row because the prison industrial complex makes way too much money on death row inmates. It's like well over $100,000 a year, the cost of keeping a prisoner, a death row prisoner. A normal prisoner only costs like $25,000.
Okay, let's hold that thought for a second.
Uh-huh.
Under eminent domain laws, I could argue that by converting the cash you're generating by holding death row prisoners, I can make more cash and get a bigger tax bonus to everybody if I broadcast live the executions.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I can
could,
go to the
yeah.
judge and I can say, I have a way to make more money on the death row. I can broadcast them live. I'm Time Warner. I'm a big media company. I can broadcast these live on the web. And I'm going to make more money than you will by keeping these prisoners wrongly on death row. So under eminent domain, I got a good case.
You probably do.
I'm a private property man. And I think we can make a ton of money broadcasting live executions. They already have that website, you know, ClearShot, I think it's called.
Oh, really? No.
Anyone remotely, we talked about it a couple of months ago, actually, anybody can remotely log on to this website and you get access to a live rounds in a gun and you're on a live shooting range and you hunt. You do live hunting, but remotely, mm-hmm. remote hunting.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that at some point the U.S. will have it hooked up so that everybody tuned into this live broadcast of the capital punishment of the execution will be able to contribute to the electricity that's going into the prisoner's brain, killing him.
Mm-hmm.
If you get enough people online, they can do a mass execution. And that's worth, you know, how many people would pay $20-$30 for this in America to do this?
Probably about 45 million evangelicals.
So you got 45 million evangelicals. You're gonna pay $20 a month to subscribe to a service to do live executions online. That's a huge business opportunity. We got to get rid of death row as it
is. I'm patenting it. Can I patent it?
Of course you can. That's a business model patent. You can get a patent on that. That's a business model.
I'm sure some evangelical has already patented that.
Well, I think there's a lot of money to be made on these online executions. So, you know, people can, like, and they do in the old firing squad. Some people have live electricity. Some people won't. So
mm-hmm.
if you have a crisis of conscience, you can all say, well, you know, I was the one that didn't, was actually not connected.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can dress up the kid. You can dress up the guy as like a clown or something. So the kids, it's good for the kids, kid friendly. PP rated.
That's the PG-13 one.
Yeah, PG-13. Dress up the prisoner like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Uh-huh.
You know those cartoons? They blow up the cat.
Yeah, my niece would probably like that.
Look! 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 Look, mommy! I'm killing the kitty cat. Oh, you're having fun, darling. Yep, that's my prediction. And, of course, we got two more conservatives heading for the Supreme Court, so you're going to have abortion outlawed in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I would buy stock in coat hangers, coat hanger manufacturers.
Yeah.
Their stock's going to skyrocket. You're going to have those back alley abortions now. So coat hangers are going to be in big demand. And there's a way to capitalize on that.
That only, you know, abortion being illegal only matters to the slave class anyway.
The underclass.
The underclass.
Yeah, because
well,
the rich
it was
people,
just most of America, 99%.
Yeah, of course. If you're rich, it's a class issue because it's exactly right. The poor will be forced to have breeding in this manner to create consumers under mm-hmm. forced consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Keep drinking, keep smoking, keep buying bad Chinese-made products. The rich, of course, they can do whatever they want. They can go to any country anytime they want. They can get an abortion anytime they want. They're not going to comply to this law. It's a class law. It's racism.
Well, that's the same thing in Ireland. It's against the law to have an abortion, but you know, all the Irish girls just go to Britain.
Mm-hmm. The ones that can afford it.
Yeah, so it's not a problem.
So it's a total class war. So Senator Scrotum, he's just he's a racist, sexist, a-hole. He's masking around as a messenger of God, just to get his payday, like these other clowns up in the G8. Shameful, really, but Americans seem to like this sort of thing.
We do. It's amusing.
It's entertaining. Keeps this show interesting, you know, watching the American senators tear down the Constitution, you know. What else we got here? Chinese oil company, CNOOC. You know, they launched a bid for UniCal last month, and, you know, they're getting resistance. Why? Because, once again, America, on one hand, they're pro-free markets, pro-capitalism. But, oh, no, the competition? No, we don't like competition. So we talk about competition. It's part of our branding statement, but we don't actually believe in competition.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, you Chinese? No, you can't compete with us. You got to be part of, you know, those Africans who we keep enslaved, basically, with bad trade laws and bad debt packages. You know, China?
Has any of the American press picked up on the whole George Bush angle? Like how he's conflicted and owns? He's part of UniCal and Carlyle Group.
I'm glad you brought that up. I happen to have a little something on this.
Oh, really?
The single greatest hostile takeover of a nation is underway, and it is our nation. Thanks to the unbelievable growth of Walmart, more of what the consumer here purchases is being made in China, while U.S. jobs continue to disappear. Okay, we talk about this all the time.
Uh-huh.
This nation is now in serious debt to China. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, China is experiencing huge national growth, which means they need an increasing amount of oil to provide the energy to fuel its growth. That's true.
Uh-huh.
China is now exceeded only by the U.S. in its need for more oil. The Project for a New American Century, in its essay, Rebuilding America's Defenses, stated how the U.S. must eliminate all competition and competitors to the U.S. That is to include all social, economic, political competition, as well as in business. This is to include air, ground, sea, and outer space competition.
Right? Okay.
So right. That doesn't sound like free market to me.
No.
The Carlyle Group, which is a private investment group, is a group of investors. They make their money by investing in other companies to the extent that Carlyle gains controlling interest through their investment in many of these companies. The majority of the upper tier of Carlyle are also members of this group, the Project for a New American Century. They are the same people that signed on to Rebuilding America's Defenses, which articulated the absolute need for this country to squash any and all competitors and anything and everything, real or perceived, to the U.S., external and internal. All right?
Okay.
Citigroup, the largest investment bank on the planet, the Carlyle Group owns a huge stake in Citigroup. So now we have the Project for a New American Century, whose members are also partners in the Carlyle Group, which is heavily invested in Citigroup. Last year, Citigroup bought controlling interest in China's second-largest development bank. A side note, Citibank, a few years ago, also bought a 49% interest in Banamex, a large bank in Mexico. Banamex was on the international list of banks laundering massive amounts of drug money, something to the tune of $500 billion a year.
So that's what Carlyle's profiting from that.
Yeah, looks to be
George
that way.
George H.W. Bush is on one of the boards of directors, I believe.
That looks to be that way. Now, it goes on to say that... basically, you've got a situation where Carlyle Group owns a big piece
of UniCal, and they own a big piece of Citibank. So
exactly.
They're bidding for one of their own products.
The Chinese takeover of Unocal is going to benefit these guys. So this is why Bush really hasn't come out too strongly against it.
No.
Because he's making a huge payday. He's totally conflicted. Why? Because the markets are completely corrupt and manipulated. And we saw that yesterday in London. Stay tuned for more of the Frick.